Beacon Press Audio presents Religion is Not Done With You, or The Hidden Power of Religion on Race, Maps, Bodies, and More by Megan Goodwin and Elise Morgenstein First. This audiobook is narrated by Julie McKay. Published by Beacon Press Audio, 2024. Introduction. So you think you're done with religion? In which we start by explaining who we are, why we care about religion, and why you should, and will, too. Religion? Really? In this economy? Look, we get it. We mean, come on, it's the 21st century. Religion is cute for your nana, or if your favorite TV show introduces a vampire, or a hot priest, or a vampire hot priest, or something. Surely, in real life, nobody actually does that stuff anymore, right? Here's the thing. Religion shapes the world around us, whether you're doing religion or not. Have you ever been admitted to a hospital, gotten married or tried to adopt, been to court, gone through airport security, used a map, voted? Do you use a calendar? We regret to inform you that religion shapes how and whether you do any of those things, regardless of how you personally feel about religion. And if you don't have the tools to recognize religion at work, it can be very hard to see, much less understand those connections, making it darn near impossible to see how religion shapes the world around us. The bad news is, most folks don't have a chance to study religion academically, if they ever get to study it at all. That, by the way, is also a consequence of how religion has shaped the world around you. We'll come back to this. The good news? We're here to help. Are you done with religion? Fear not! We're not interested in making you religious. Or, if you're already doing religion, in telling you how to do it right or better. Being done with religion, or not, is a deeply personal issue for lots of folks. The ways we think, or don't, about religion get shaped by how we were raised, where we are now, how we and our commitments and our goals have changed over time. Maybe you have a robust religious life in community with folks who share your values and worldview. Maybe you'd like to do more, but you haven't quite found your place yet. You might be a deeply spiritual person who doesn't resonate with traditional or organized religion. Or you might be an atheist or a free thinker and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is all there is. Maybe you think religion used to matter, but we're really past that sort of thing by now. Or should be. That obviously religion is important to some people, but mostly humans have, like, evolved past all that, and you can't figure out why other people's religions seem to get talked about so much, especially around election times. Or maybe you're ambivalent. You don't even care whether or not you care, because who cares, you know? Or maybe you care very deeply about religion because to you, religion means politics and war and violence and hate and oppression. And maybe if we fixed religion, we could fix the rest of this mess too. All of these are completely valid ways to feel about religion. Seriously, you get to feel about religion however you want. Honestly, that's all you, God or gods bless, or not. Any way you feel about religion is fine by us. But, and it's a big but, how you feel about religion is only the tiniest bit of why religion matters. And we care very much that you know that. Because not knowing that religion infuses and informs every part of our world, that's dangerous, and it allows a lot of unnecessary and violent oppression to flourish. We need you to know that even if you're done with religion, religion is not done with you, which is why we wrote this book. Who the heck are we? We know you've probably heard that religion isn't an appropriate thing to talk about in public. So why are we talking about it? Why are we telling you to talk about it? Why should you listen to us? Who do we think we are, anyway? So glad you asked. We think we're funny, but we know more about religion than most folks. We both have master's degrees and doctorates in religion. Megan in gender, sexuality, and American religions. Elise in Islam, race, and racialization, and South Asia. We actually met as grad students in the University of Chapel Hill's Department of Religious Studies in 2007, and have been thinking and talking about religion together ever since. We've both written books and lots of articles on religion, taught dozens of religious studies classes, won grants and awards to research religion, given interviews, and authored op-eds and delivered public talks on religion. We love thinking and talking to each other about religion so much that we created a podcast about it. And that award-winning podcast led directly to this very book. Thinking and writing and talking about religion are our day jobs, but religion is also a central part of our personal lives. Both of us belong to minority religious communities. We are religious people who, in very different ways and for deeply different reasons, care about justice and repairing our broken world. Professionally, Elise's work centers on Islam, race, and imperialism. She cares a lot about how racial systems mesh with religious ones. Her writing and teaching always focus on how race, religion, and power are always, always in the room. But Elise was also adopted at birth by an Ashkenazi Jewish couple who raised her in a fairly progressive synagogue in New Jersey, to which her lingering accent attests. She watched the Twin Towers fall on television during her first week of college, minutes after leaving a class about religion. All of those things shape her commitments to social justice, racial equity, queer and feminist spaces, and dismantling systems of Christian oppression. She's a mom of two killjoys in training, a frequent complainer to various powers that be about calendars. We'll get there, wait for it. And someone with a knack for explaining global patterns. Like that old telephone commercial, her line is, "It's all connected." Elise is also a multiple award-winning teacher, so projects like this, where we explain a phenomenon and then try to puzzle through what to do next, are her favorite. Megan's work focuses on race, gender/sexuality, politics, and American minority religions, including groups many people call cults, even though she has begged them not to. A self-described stone-cold bummer, Megan centers her research and teaching on oppressive American systems rooted in excluding and disciplining religious, racial, gender, and sexual outsiders. She's a loud, large, queer, disabled, neurodivergent ginger lady raised by Philadelphia Catholics who, inspired by Pat Buchanan, infamous white Christian nationalist and political advisor, decided to leave the church of her youth to date women, critique capitalism, and practice witchcraft instead of having children. Megan is a pro-queer, anti-racist feminist dedicated to helping students, listeners, and anyone else who will listen realize that religion is a force for change. Not always bad, not inherently good, but always changed and changing. With their powers combined, Elise and Megan have spent the last 15 years conspiring to build Chosen Family. Megan is an aunt to Elise's small humans, foment social justice, talk religion, teach our students and listeners and readers, and kill joy in the radical hope that life-giving change can come from it. Killjoy might sound negative, and certainly some folks use the word that way. For us, being killjoys means combining our academic training and personal commitments to think clearly and carefully about how religion works in the world. All the damage people do in the name of religion and all the creativity, joy, resistance, and survival that religion makes possible. We borrow the term killjoy from renowned feminist and anti-racist scholar Sarah Ahmed. In The Promise of Happiness, 2010, Ahmed says that to kill joy is to open a life, to make room for life, to make room for possibility, for chance. For us, being Killjoys isn't about telling people.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?